Okay, good evening. It is January 19th, the 34th session of Da'as Tefillah. And we will, Amir Hashem, finish tonight the second section of the Sefer, the section of Tefillos Keneged, Tefillos, Tefillah Chayisha, the connection between Zman and Tefillah. And we'll, Amir Hashem, finish that, that entire section tonight. And next week, Mitzvah Hashem, start, or the following week, we'll see, Tfilos Avos Tiknum, that the Tfilos were established by the Avos. Okay, so what did we say last week? Last week, we tried to finish off this section by discussing how Ma'ariv functions and what Ma'ariv is. We started by contrasting, remember, Shachris with Ma'ariv. That was the original contrast. All right. Second.
Recording in progress.
We started by contrasting Shachris and Ma'ariv. The Shachris was about light and Ma'ariv was about darkness. And that these two represented sort of opposite poles. And they're very obvious. The morning represents Chesed. The evening represents the lack of chesed. The morning is a time we can see the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The evening is a time where it's more difficult to discern the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a kind of a Hester Panim. And we balanced Shachris and Ma'ariv that way. Then Rav Rakovsky said, so what exactly is Mincha? What is Mincha? How does Mincha fit in? So he pointed out that Mincha really is the opposite of Shachris, because Shachris is represented by Chesed, and Mincha is represented by Din. Shachris is represented by HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepping in, doing things, making things happen for us, being a parent. And Mincha was a time where the Din was expressed. Things function, but they function b'midas Elokim, not b'midas Hashem, but b'midas Elokim. Din isn't necessarily a bad thing. Din isn't necessarily punishment, but it is a situation where we are open to the elements. We are only given exactly what we deserve, and we stand with Yira in front of our king. So what exactly is Ma'ariv then? Ma'ariv does not yet represent light. There is no light yet. At the same time, it's not this time where the light is being taken away. It's not this time of din. It's not, it doesn't have the yira that is associated with mincha. So he pointed out last week that Ma'ariv is really a combination of the two things that came before it. The first half of the night is generally connected to, associated to to mincha, to din. And the second half of the night is already connected to the morning, is connected to chesed. So you have a 12-hour period which combines a time of din and a time of chesed. And what he explained was that the night is a time of hamtokas hadin, where the din is sweetened, where the din is, the severity of the din is sweetened, where we realize that we haven't yet made it to the dawn, but we survived the time of din. We survived the time of din. We haven't yet made it to the dawn. We don't yet see we don't yet see the light, but at the same time, we are able to take a step back. We're not under the pressure of Yira and Din at that moment. The sun, the light is not being actively taken away. It's not a time, we talked about the beginning of the destruction was at the time of Mincha. It's not such a time like that. It's not a time where it's impossible to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a time where we're somewhere in between. We're suspended between the din and the morning that's coming, and the light that's coming. Is the connection okay? Are you able to hear me, or am I choppy? You're okay. Good. Okay. It's somewhere in between, and that's what Laila represents. And Laila represents this time of Emes ve'emuna. Emes ve'emuna. It's a time of emuna. It's a time of faith. It's a time where we can look back on our historic beginnings. We can look back on the fact that we were judged and that we suffered punishment at different times. And it's a time where we can however, recognize that we made it through and that we await the morning to come. We await the morning to come. That's what the spirit of Ma'ariv is. It's a combination of the two things that came before it. It's a combination of chesed and din, or better put, it's a combination of din to be combined with chesed. In that order, it's a combination of din that's combined with chesed that allows us to get to the morning. So let's now finish. Betchilasa inyanim elu motziyim et bituyam betfilas arvis. These thoughts, these ideas are found in Ma'ariv. Betchilasa, at the beginning, omrim anu v'hu rachum le'orer et midat harachamim. The first thing we do when we say Ma'ariv and Shul is we say v'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashkiz v'bal yeshiva po. V'hu rachum, rachamim, is the mitigating of the din with chesed. V'hu rachum le'orer et midas harachamim. We bring up the midah of rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rachamim is not the same as chesed. Chesed is an outpouring, is a lack of judging, is just a giving us without any limits. Din is very specifically just what we deserve, and sometimes what we deserve is a punishment. But we start off with v'hu rachum, b'nuschata yesh yud gimel tevos, k'neged yud gimel midas harachamim. I don't know if you ever realized that or thought about that, but v'hu rachum is 13 words, which correspond to the 13 midos harachamim. So immediately, this at the moment that we start Ma'ariv, it starts with words of rachamim. It starts with words of rachamim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on us. He doesn't bring the punishment all the way. The punishment is going to end. Baham shacha, in the continuation, mazkirim anu es ahavas habore la'amo Yisrael hakayemet la'olam. The next thing we talk about is the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his people that lasts forever. And this is a very interesting point. Gam kishanu begalut imo anochi b'tzara. Even when we're in galus, even when we haven't yet merited the ge'ula, he's still with us and he still hasn't given up on us. Ahavas olam ahavtanu. What do we say at night? At night we say ahavas olam, a permanent but a hidden, right? The word olam in this context, it means two things, which is very interesting. Very often we speak of the word that olam, the world, is a place that God hides, right? We use the word olam in terms of the world, the world. The world is a place that looks like a natural space and God uses it to hide behind nature, olam, he'olam. But the word olam also means forever. Ahavat olam ahavtanu. God loves us with an eternal kind of love. Le'umat ahava rabba shenigleit b'chesed aboker. As opposed to the ahava rabba, to the tremendous outpouring of love that we have in the morning. B'laylahu behe'elam le'olam. Very interesting. Behe'elam le'olam. What happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we sin in the desert? What happens when we sin in the desert with the sin of the golden calf? So Moshe Rabbeinu moves his tent from within the people to outside of the people. What is that idea? What is the idea that the source of the Shekhinah and other things moves outside of the camp? The answer is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to take a step away to allow us to make mistakes and to allow the relationship to continue. The relationship can't always be at a Har Sinai level. That's Ahava Rabba. That's the marriage. But at the level of marriage, it's good for people to get away a little bit. I just was on a very interesting seminar today with a number of therapists who are preparing a seminar for rabbis to help couples during COVID. It's a little late, but to try to still help couples during COVID. You know, one of the problems with COVID is that you're home all the time with your spouse, which in my case is just the best thing in the whole world, but not in every single case is that the best thing in the world. And it's also not natural. It's not supposed to be that way. It never was that way in history. It never was that way in history. When we speak of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we speak of Ratzov V'Shov, coming and going, moments of intense love, moments of intense passion, and moments where we separate a little bit and it comes backwards and forwards. There's a reason why men and women perhaps had different roles historically, is it put them in two different places during much of the day. And that's okay too. That's not Ahava Rabbah, but that's Ahavat Olam. So what happens at night is we refer to the fact that right now there's Hester Panim. There's a certain amount of distance. We don't feel incredibly close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the night of the Galut. But do you know what the Galus allows us? The Galus allows the relationship to survive. We can't live at an intense Beis HaMikdash sort of level all the time. When we're in the presence of the king, when we're intimately involved, when we are tucked away in a room with Ribbono Shel Olam, there's very little room for error. And therefore, anything that we do wrong is going to result in a disastrous end of the relationship. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He creates a little bit more of a distant relationship. He hides himself a little more. It makes us less guilty if we don't see him all the time. And that distance allows for the permanence of the relationship. So in the morning, we have Ahava Rabbah. Oh, everything's amazing. It's unbelievable. I hate to tell you, kids, it doesn't last that way. An Ahava Rabbah is not necessarily a relationship that is going to last. That's not the same as an Ahavat Olam. At night, we shift from Ahava Rabbah to Ahavat Olam. Ki Ahava Rabbah, Habracha hi al Godel Ha'ahava. The Maharal says, when you have an Ahava Rabbah, the bracha is the amount of love, the intensity of the love. The Ahavat Olam al Nitzchiyut Ahava Hazot. But Ahavat Olam is the fact that the relationship lasts. It's given the ability to last. It's given the ability to have Nitzchiyus. It's being given the ability to continue. Behem Sheikh, as we continue, and we'll see this idea beautifully carried out in the lives of the Avos and in others, this idea of Ahava Rabbah, of intense chesed, versus Ahavat Olam, that of Nitzchiyus, that which allows the relationship to continue over time. Behem Sheikh,
yes. Do you think that God originally wanted it to be this intense thing because he planted himself in with us, and then we sinned, and then he moved himself out, and you don't really think of God making a mistake?
Well, so, if you think about it, Dr. Mark, that's not only the story of the Jewish people. Who else's story is that?
Adam and Chava, you have
exactly
that same thing.
Exactly. Did you ever think about the fact that the first two chapters of the Torah, the first two parshiot of the Torah, that of Bereshit and Noach, is really a precursor, is almost a coming attraction to this relationship that God will have with the Jewish people? It seems that if you think of Adam and Chava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with the most extreme potential for the relationship. But that doesn't mean that the players, especially the ones on the non-godly side, are ready for that type of relationship. They need to be shown what the relationship could be. They need to fail. And then they need to get their act together and get back to that place that you could be back in that Gan Eden sort of a place. Right? Absolutely fascinating idea. If you think of the bracha that's given by Sheva Brachas, of Began Eden Mikedem, that the idea that the soul of the husband and the wife were originally one, and then they were broken off, and they had to come down into this world and then find each other again. This idea of union, disunion, and then reunion seems to be a pattern of the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very powerful way. You see echoes all over the place. Union, disunion, reunion. So yes, you're right, Mark. It's strange. Why would God put them in Eden for a few hours for something that was never meant to be? Why would he create an entire world that was only going to be used for a couple hours before human beings messed it up? Unless, as the Ramban says, that that's where the world is eventually going back to. We needed to see it and to taste it so that when, even though we were not close to ready for it, but now we know what we're striving for. Behemshech mevatimanu es emunaseinu begeula ha'asidus, emes ve'emuna. At that point, as we continue in Ma'ariv, we begin to express our emuna in the ultimate and the final geula, emes ve'emuna, ad birchas ga'al Yisrael. Maskirim anu yitzias mitzrayim balelos, heyosu geula meorta nami havi. Right? We mentioned the fact that we mentioned Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, even though the Gemara in Bracha says that the real Geula was during the day. It was at noon. They marched out of Egypt at noon. At night, there was a partial Geula. What does that mean, a partial Geula at night? They were still in Egypt. They were still in the darkness, but they could see that the light was coming. They could look forward to the light of the next morning. Being able to sense that the end is near, being able to sense that the light is coming, is in and of itself a geula. That's such a powerful idea. Again, it's the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that says that really the geula was at night, during the day, right? In the middle of the day. We left at 12 noon, but geula at night, there's also a sense of geula at night, and it connects it to Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is the geula of knowing that the geula is coming, knowing that tomorrow I will be redeemed, already itself lifts so much of the pain. It's interesting to note that the Jewish people, we're going to have in this week's Parsha, the first Seder was still in Egypt. The first Seder was the night before they left Egypt. How can you celebrate a Seder when you haven't even left? But we all know that feeling. If a person is in jail, is in prison, and they know tomorrow's the last day, then the night before is nothing to get through. The ability to know that the end is coming, to know that Geula is coming, makes the Geula so much more light and so much more bearable. And that's kind of what night is about. Habakasha al shmira v'hashkacha b'cheshkas ha'golos mistayemes v'bracha ha'mabiyas bitochen knesses yishol benitzchiyas kum v'ratzah. That's a long sentence. The request to be watched and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to observe us in the darkness of the galus ends with a bracha that expresses a faith, the faith of Klal Yisrael, with its eternal existence in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. La'ad. We're not there yet. We haven't made it through. But you know what? The destruction is over. Destruction over. It continues to burn. Remember the image that we said from 2 weeks ago, the image of the Beis HaMikdash being set afire before Shkia. Before Shkia. And the fact is that most of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash occurred on the 10th of Av, not on the 9th of Av. It was in the 9th of Av that the din came out. That was when the Beis HaMikdash was torched. It continued to burn at night. But at night, when it continued to burn, and we realized that the Beis HaMikdash was burning, but we would survive, when we realize that the fact that we were punished is actually not something that's there to end us, but to allow us to continue. The fact that sometimes terrible things have to happen to Klal Yisrael in order for them to be able to make it through the long run. So that feeling and that idea is what we have overnight. Shomer Amo Yisrael Adam. Mitoch smichas lahazkaras ha-geula ne'amadim anu lispal. And from that smichas geula l'tfila, we get up to Davin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'erev Adam Tzarech Lomar, as we started with, Tzarech Lomar, Yihiratzol Mofanecha Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu, Shekishem Shehayisi Va'afeilu Ve'otzioni La'oro, the Yerushalmi, just as I was in darkness and you brought me to light, Kach Totzienu Me'afeilu La'orlo. The essence of the tefillah of Ma'ariv is you're taking me from the darkness. I know that you're going to take me back to the light. I'm still in the darkness. It's still night. But I know that I'm going to make it to the light. V'kach matzano b'divrei hagra, hakbala zu shel zmani atfilos l'shinuyim ha'avim b'chol yom. And you have this entire chapter is basically drawn from the writings of the Vilna Gaon. V'chol dvarenu him b'chlal pshat dvarav. And everything we learned for the last, 10 weeks is just pshat in this one paragraph of the gra. Ad chatzos hayom, until noon of the day, Haor misgaber v'holech, the light gets greater and greater. Umichatzei hayom ve'elech mischali shaor, and then from noon until you get closer to sunset, the light weakens. V'chol shaor mitma'et hadin matchil, and the more that the light is going away, the further we sink into din. She'or hu chesed, because or, light, represents chesed. V'chol hispashtus mitzad ha-chesed, v'hiskansus umiut mitzad ha-gvura, and the pulling away of chesed. The pulling away of that chesed, the pulling away of the special attention and the special overriding of the rules, etc. That is all considered to be gevura, the standing up, the din, the establishment and the shlita of din. Vihine dalid itim bayom. There really are four times during the day. Shebehem dalid dargin dalid ragli hamerkava. That's a pretty deep idea. We're not going to go into so much what he means, the Dalid Ragle HaMerkava. But the idea is as follows. Yechezkel has a vision where he sees in chapter 1 of the Sefer Yechezkel a Merkava. It's called Maisa HaMerkava. He sees a chariot. At the top of the chariot is sitting a figure who we're supposed to understand is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do we read this prophecy that talks about God as riding on top of a chariot? When do we read this? It's read as a haftorah, one day a year. It's read on Shavuos morning when we're all asleep, which is good because you shouldn't pay too much attention to that haftorah. It's one of the few places in Tanakh, one of the only that I know of, where Rashi says, don't even think about this pasuk. Don't even try to figure out what this pasuk means. Not that I don't know what it means, but you don't think about this pasuk. It's a very strange image of God in a very earthly kind of form, human form, sitting on top of a chariot, which is down here. Chazal understand that the chariot is the way, is so to speak, the way God is revealed in the world. Right? A chariot connects the rider with the earth. How many wheels does a chariot have? Four. Four wheels of a chariot. There are four different ways, so to speak. There are four different times. There are four different reflections of God in this chariot. Shebahen tignu gimel tfilos avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So, wait a minute. Four? Where'd four come from? We've been talking about three for a long time. This whole section, we've been talking about three avos, three tfilos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. One created Shachris, one created Mincha, one created Ma'ariv, and we'll talk about that at length in the next section. The Achar Chatzos, David. Whoa, that is so beyond this chapter. I have to admit, I'm not really sure why he brought this in yet, but he points out that there actually is a fourth prayer of the day, which is said only by Tzadikim, and that is Chatzos, Tikkun Chatzos. When is Tikkun Chatzos said? Tikkun Chatzos was supposedly written by David HaMelech. When is Tikkun Chatzos said? At the turning point of midnight. Of midnight. V'achar Chatzos David, David HaMelech, who in some ways, again, we'll get back to this in a long time from now, David HaMelech is on some level the fourth level, fourth wheel of the Merkava, Chatzos Laila Akum, Kinor David, etc. V'chule. Again, he's getting way, way, way ahead of us. I'm not really sure why he included this paragraph, but we'll get to some of these fantastic ideas of how the Avos are connected to the Tfilos, how David HaMelech is connected to the Tfilos, etc., etc. Chatzos Harishon de Avram Midas HaChesed, Tfilos Shachris de Avram. Okay? The first section, the first half of the day is Avram Avinu, is Chesed, is Shachris, there's more light coming, etc. Or Yashar Shachama Holeches Umispateshes Ba'olam, the light is growing, everything is wonderful, V'notein L'chol Davar Chuko, and we pointed out that's the nature of Shachris. It's huge on the thank yous. It's huge on the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's huge. We request whatever we want. Everything is wonderful. And then at noon, the sun returns. The light is taken away. Vahu or choser, the light goes back. The light goes backwards. When we call Malkum Meir LaOlam, Elishib or choser, the light is still there. The light represents our ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could see him, but it's being taken away. Right? He's there. It's not really a time of Hester Panim. It's a time of Din. It's a time where we're aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're standing in front of him, Beira, but it's being taken away. For whom he does Yitzchak Tfilas Mincha, and that's Yitzchak and Mincha, Va'ad Chatzos Laila Ha'aretz Mikabeles Besocha Ve'kofeles Besocha Mashakibul Bayom. For the first 6 hours, we have the time of Ma'ariv, V'hu Tfilas Yaakov Ikar Akiyum. Again, he's so far ahead of ourselves. We're going to have to understand in the next chapter what the connection is between Avraham and the morning, Yitzchak and the afternoon, and Yaakov and night. But we'll yet figure that out, and we'll have to figure out if, in fact, there are three Avos, then why are there four times a day? If, in fact, there are three Avos, why does a car have four wheels? And we'll have to try to figure out, although I'm giving away the answer, if there's only three Avos, why are there four Imahos? And don't tell me it's because Lavan tricked Yaakov. If you think that the entire Jewish history was shaped by Lavan, and that was, and Leah was not meant to be, or Rachel was not meant to be one of the Imahos, don't tell me that anyone who married Yaakov was a foremother, because that's also not true. Zilpah and Bilhah never made it. So there's this fascinating connection between three and is it three? Is it four? Is it, you know, in the morning, if those of you are listening, is it 12 brachos? Is it 13 brachos? Is it 12 shvatim? Is it 13 shvatim? Anyway, too much there to describe, but he wants to show you at least that what the entire chapter came from this passage from the Gra. The problem is that the Gra takes us way into the next chapter and beyond. Shasa tefila lechassid kigarin hayom upiro. And finally, he says, the time of tefila is for the chassid. He quotes again Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari that the time of tefillah, and here he kind of plays on the words, the combination of time and tefillah, techushat hazman, the sense of time passing, vechavayat hashinuyim ha'avim bo, and the living through the changes of morning, afternoon, and night, chada v'charifa hi etzel oved Hashem. Such a powerful word. We sense the passing of time. Not simply the marking of the years, not simply the marking of the months and the holidays, not simply the marking of the week with each Shabbos. Yes, the world has such a thing as a weekend, but it doesn't mark time the way a Shabbos does. We don't count down to the weekend in the same way. And so too, for the one who prays, so the morning and the afternoon and the night become distinct times to live through. We said from the Kuzari that Shabbos is to the week what tefillah is to the day, or the opposite. Tefillah is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. And now we're taking that idea a step further. It's not just that, just as Shabbos is a break where we get away from the week for a little bit just to immerse ourselves in it again, and tefillah is a break from the day where we step away for a few minutes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we go back in. No, it's more than that. Because Shabbos isn't just a break for the week. Shabbos structures the entire week. Shabbos allows us to experience the passing of time in a much more meaningful way, and so too Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. The need to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu in three different ways at three times of the day allows us to experience morning, afternoon, and evening as completely different time zones. It's not one day, it's three different experiences, and if I'm up in the middle of the night, it might even be four for a tzaddik. It might even be a four. Most of us experience just three times.
Why is halachically the day is broken into two 12-hour shifts.
Right.
Correct?
Yes and no. In other words, the light hours and the darkness hours. But it's also tefillah.
Right,
tefillah takes it a step further. Most mitzvos, you're right, Mark.
Right,
most mitzvos function.
So it makes sense if we have mincha, we need something to be opposite it at midnight.
Right.
So we do need a fourth time to move away, to go take the time away and be with God.
Correct. The question is, most of us are proverbially sleeping at midnight, not actually sleeping in many cases, but proverbial sleeping. Most mitzvos of the Torah, think about it. Most mitzvos of the Torah give us day and night awareness. Right? As the Gemara tells us, the mitzvos hayom, the beginning of brachos, are all day, and the mitzvos halayla are all night. So most of the Torah experience causes awareness of two divisions of the day. If we can form an intense relationship with Hashem through tefillah, then we become aware of three different times a day. And if we can live at the level of those who pray the tikkun chatzos, which is a very, very high level of individual who's sensitive enough to be davening at midnight, et cetera, for the Beis HaMikdash, then we become aware of a fourth experience. The more intense our relationship with his Hashem, the more we experience the times of day, more changes during the time of day, the more we're aroused to different religious experiences during that time of day. Margishu b'sharshe osam hatofaot. We understand the root of these experiences. He'arat panav yitbarach o hesteram. We feel this ratzov v'shov. We feel more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning. We feel in fear of God in the afternoon. We feel distant but awaiting with emuna the night. Zmanim elu, now that's obviously not in the book. Heim, enen. Heim bishvilo, for the person who's sensitive in tefillah, these different times are ground, they're earth. Lezrias garine ha'emuna v'abitachon. They're places to plant our emuna and our bitachon, to make it real, to experience a relationship with God over the course of every day. Ha'amakas avodas ha'tefillah. And this sentence is so powerful. Again, ha'amakas avodas ha'tfila, the deepening of the work of tefillah causes us to want, to yearn for a connection to God, b'chol matzav u'merchak bo hu nimtza. In other words, he just pulled something on us so amazing. Morning, afternoon, and night are not just three times of the day. They're three experiences of our lives. And yes, some, on the one hand, in the morning we relate to God in one way, and in the afternoon another way, and in the night another way. But those are really prototypes for three different kinds of times in our life. There are times in our life where, even though it's the afternoon, we feel that Hashem is showering us with chesed. There are times in our life where, even though it may be the morning, we feel that God is judging. We feel afraid of him. We feel that things are being taken away. And there are times where, even though it could be light outside, we feel this sense of distance from God, but this faith that we'll run into him again and that the morning will come. Going through every single day, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, prepares us for the mornings, the afternoons, and the nights of our life, to teach us how to live with God and to connect to him in the mornings of our life, in the afternoons of our life, and the nights of our life. And by doing this every single day, this is a mind-blowing idea, by doing this every single day, by practicing every single day, connecting him in a morning and in an afternoon and a night, we learn to prepare, we learn to relate to him at no matter what's going on in our life, to connect it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such an incredible idea. Hakarat ha'tova shebechesed haras panav. We learn hakaras ha'tov for the times we feel the chesed, v'ha'huda alkach, ha'tikva, to have faith, to have hope, ha'emunah v'abitachon, b'ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nitzchis kim Yisrael, that we should learn faith. If we really experience tefillah, we experience the entire range of emotions that connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the course of every single day. The faith, the hakaras hatov, the acceptance of the judgment, the ava, the yira, the long-term connection, v'kach ne'nehu ha'mispalo miperos avodas ha'tvila. Remember, this is the way it was categorized by the Kuzari. Sha'at ha'tvila l'chasid ki garin hazman u'piryo. It's the seed and it's the pre. What does it mean it's the seed and it's the pre? It's our practicing ground, and the pre, it's where we reap the fruit of our work. We reap the fruit of the work that we do. It's called avoda. Tefillah is called avoda. Avoda is a word that we use for working the soil. If we work the soil, if we work through tefillah, if we learn to relate to God in all these different kinds of ways, then we can spend the rest of our time with the fruit of that work. Constant realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, constant awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constant belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constant belief in the fact that Klal Yisrael is going to continue. All of Emunah stems, can be born out from the exercise, the avoda that we do three times a day, that we do in tefillah. Ba'asher hu zochah hu l'taken es okam akol kulam at nitlim b'zman. The zman can be the time. The zman can be, as he said at the beginning of the chapter, zman can be what draws us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The immersing ourselves in this world, the fact that we're put down here in this complicated world, the fact that we're put down in a world that sometimes has chesed and sometimes has din and sometimes, but if we work it, if we exercise three times daily, then we can use zman as something that connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doesn't chas v'shalom bring us far away. To finish this section, we have now understood in the way that we could. We don't understand it as well as the author understands it. We did our best with some of the phrases and ideas, but we have a little better understanding of the idea of the connection between tefillah and time. The connection of tefillah to the passing of time, ha'akbala sheben shloshes hatfilos, the comparison of the three tfilos, l'chelke hayamama v'taluchos hashemesh, to the different times of the day and the moving of the sun, hitzvanu al ha'shorashim ha'pnimiyim shel shinui mahalech ha'teva halalu, eluhem shloshes, and we've understood, we've uncovered that nature calls out these three main ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Shebehem HaBorei Yisbaruch Maneges HaOlamo, Chesed, Din, and Rachamim. So it turns out nature failed. Nature failed. Nature is there to hide the Ribono Shel Olam. It's there for Helem. It's there so that we think there's no God. But if we step back and we study nature, it tells us the main things we can know about God are calling to us from nature. Are calling to us from nature, the idea of mornings, the idea of afternoons, the idea of evenings. What we know about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu parallels the experience that we have in nature. Be'uram shel gimel midos elo, explaining, fully fleshing out these three midos, these three ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world, that we understand him relating to the world, fully fleshing out how to engage him at these times. How to engage him at a time of chesed, how to engage him at a time of din, how to engage him at a time of hester panim. To really understand how to connect to God, we need not simply a world, but we need role models. We need role models. We can't just have Shmoneh Esreis. We need living beings that show us what does it mean to relate to God at the time of chesed. What does it mean to relate to God at a time of din? What does it mean to relate to God when you're not exactly sure what he's thinking? Explaining these three midos, v'heksherem l'shloshes hatfilo shetiknu ha'avos hakdoshim. We're now going to, in the next chapter, please God, understand the connection between these three things, the connection between these things and the avos. Yehiye nidon dvarenu b'marach haba, tfilos avos tiknu. That the tfilos were established by the avos. Why did we need, Rabosai, three avos? I hate to break it to you. If you know anything about the birds and the bees, you either have one ancestor or you have a million. What does it mean that we have three patriarchs? What does that mean? Why did each patriarch have to create their own tefillah? What does that mean? Why did Avram have to create a Shachris and Yitzchak create a Mincha and Yaakov create a Ma'ariv? The answer is that if each of these tefillos are there to teach us how to relate to God in a different time of our life, we needed a living role model whose life was a Shachris, whose life was a Mincha, whose life was a Ma'ariv. And through that, we'll understand that famous Gemara of Tfilos Avos Tiknum in a way that, by the way, once you see the Gemara again, you'll never be able to look at the Gemara the same way again, and we'll understand the depth of that very, very beautiful Gemara. Oy, it's moving stuff. I feel like I'm tearing in half of these discussions. When you read him word for word, it's just, it's really, it makes your hair stand on end. Okay, this was, we went a little over today, but I wanted to finish this beautiful, beautiful section. And Mitzvah Shem, there's a small chance we won't have a shiur next week, and I'll email everyone, but I'm pretty sure we'll have a shiur Monday night. We'll start the next section, which is Tfilos Avos Tiknum. Have a good night.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, Rabbi.